episode 4, the Jeremy and Ryan Show. How is everyone doing on this fine April 20th? Some light snow flurries here in Toronto, but now that Ryan is back in his homeland of Prince Edward Island, he's bathing in the warm weather.
It's warm, Jeremy, but it's also raining. So classic PEI weather right now. Although I am quite thrilled to not have any snow. I will admit that. So sucks to be you.
Okay. I can go with that.
You know what else is great about being on vacation? Also, just want to throw this out here to our viewers. Jeremy Pearl, officially a graduate of Ryerson University. Congratulations, Jeremy.
Okay, I've officially finished university. I don't think I've technically graduated.
Not sure about those courses yet, are you?
Yeah, it's all about the paper now.
Good stuff.
So, some non-great stuff. The Blue Jays this week. Well, Blue Jays in general so far this season.
Dismal.
3-4 since our last show. A series split with the White Sox. Brandon Morrow was batted around quite easily last night by the depleted Yankees. And if you saw, I was putting depleted in quotations because the Yankees are playing reasonably well this year. Is it still, I mean, for me, I'm still going with it's April and they're going to figure it out. They don't have their full lineup yet and people are starting to come around. Like Edwin's starting to come around. JP's still hitting the ball well. Jose's been out of the lineup for 4 games.
Yeah. But
the pitching in general has slowly gotten better, but
this week though, Jeremy, the pitching was not good. I was at the Blue Jays game on Wednesday whenever they played the Chicago White Sox, and J.A. Happ was on the mound. Now he's your number 5 starter, but he's been arguably the best starter so far this season, and he was hit hard, you know.
Yes, but Josh Johnson pitched well.
Yeah, and you know, Dickey had a really good start too.
Dickey had a great game, and as he said after the game, you know, that's a knuckleball I could have pitched a complete game with if he didn't have shoulder soreness or, you know, the back pain.
Do you think he'll be back for his next start, by the way?
I would not be surprised. I would be surprised if he wasn't.
Okay.
Basically, it's just kind of muscles flaring up, and it was a precautionary reason they took him out, and I assume he will be back because that's, you know, what he said and what Gibbons said. But at the same time, the last time a Blue Jays player had back inflammation or some, you know, a sore back, it was, he'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow. He'll be back tomorrow. And then, you know what, we don't know when he'll be back and he misses an entire White Sox series. But I don't know if I'm talking about Jose Bautista or not. You know, you just don't know.
Jeremy Pearl, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I don't know. With the Blue Jays, it seems as though, I don't know why, but, you know, they lose once, and there's this sense of frustration. Even though it's early on in the season, it seems like almost frustrating that the Jays are losing games. Now, one tweet that I saw yesterday on Twitter, and I really liked it, was something from Alex Rios. He told a reporter when asked about the Blue Jays, he said, "You know what, the Blue Jays have built a very good team, but not everyone wins in their first season. Look at the Miami Heat." And I really like that thing, that quote by Rios, a former Blue Jay now on the Chicago White Sox, because it's so very true, you know. Baseball is a long season, and we said this last week, and we said it the episode before too, that it's still very early, but, you know, it can be very frustrating. Currently, the Jays are, what, 5 games back in the AL East, at a record of 7-10, but it's almost, I don't know, I think their best shot, especially with the Red Sox playing the way that they are, would be to get one of those 2 wild card spots. I don't know what you think.
Well, here's the thing. If this stretch of, well, let's say 7-10 happens between game 80 and game, you know, 100, no one's really talking about it other than, okay, the Jays aren't really hot right now. The fact that this is starting at the beginning of the season is the only reason why it's, you know, why it's magnified and why it's being discussed the way it's discussed. The Jays are notorious fast starters. This year, the Jays start quickly and then they fade off towards the end. maybe this year they're trying something new. Maybe they're fading at the beginning, and then they're going to catch fire, you know, later towards the end of the year. I don't think 7-10 is honestly that bad of a record as it is being talked about right now, just purely because there's 140-some-odd games left, 150-some-odd games left. They'll figure it out, and you know what? If they don't, their roster is going to be pretty similar next year. And again, it takes the teams a lot of the time. It takes teams. You have to learn to lose before you can learn how to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know. With that said, too, they have been stringing together a few victories as of late. You know, they won the series against Kansas City last weekend, and then they split the series against the White Sox. Now, this game this afternoon against the Yankees at 107 is going to be a big one. I think it's just going to be a big game.
They play the Yankees 6 times in this month. They're next, I believe.
Next weekend, they're in New York.
New York. Every series for the rest of the month, except for the Mariners, they play the Orioles. They play the Orioles, and they also play the Red Sox as well as the Yankees again. If they want to turn it around, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, this is a perfect time to string together some victories and, you know, climb your way up in the standings. But
and you know what? Jose's back in the lineup. They're obviously missing Reyes, but other than that, their lineup is what their lineup's going to be.
Now, Jeremy, you mentioned the loss of Reyes. They have a replacement for him. They called him up from AAA. Last year, he played for the Seattle Mariners. Didn't bat very well, and I think a lot of people were surprised at the acquisition by Alex Anthopoulos in the offseason for Minasori Kawasaki. What an exciting player he is, wearing Mario Lemieux's number 66.
Yeah, first off, I'm not really sure how he ended up with 66. That's kind of a curious number. But he has been just a delight to watch, and he's been someone that's really kind of brought some levity to the situation here and really kind of lightened the mood in the locker room. I'm not saying that the Jays aren't frustrated, which they clearly are, and they know they have to kind of get going. As Gibbons said, you know, there becomes a point where it's not early anymore. But Kawasaki has just been a spark plug. And for someone who hasn't or can't hit well in the majors, he's hitting pretty well right now.
Yeah.
Again, it's a small sample size, and we don't know if he can sustain it. But now,
he's played good defense too, Jeremy. Players. He's played good defense too.
And that's defense is the real reason why he was up here. Because you're obviously not going to place Reyes' bat. And obviously the market seems to be way too high for Mr. Anthopoulos to dive into. So Kawasaki's been there for his glove and his kind of defensive stability. But what he's providing on offense has been great. That being said, he hasn't really had enough opportunities to, you know, create RBIs or even score himself, because the rest of the lineup just hasn't been fantastic.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, you have guys like Colby Rasmus that's struggling a little bit. Adam Lynn hasn't hit the ball very well either. Guys like that need to start picking it up.
Here's a question for you. So Colby Rasmus does not bat well against lefties. He's consistently taken out of the lineup against lefties. Should he be staying in against lefties because he's that good defensively? Should he just be learning how to figure it out? Or do you take out his bat?
Well, defense? I'm referring back to the game that I saw on Wednesday night at the Rogers Center. It was a lefty on the mound for Chicago. And I don't think he got a hit all night. Then again, the Jays didn't get many hits at all. I think they only ended up the night with 3 or 4 hits.
That being said, a strikeout is still an out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Outs are all the same unless you have a runner on third.
I would almost...
A sack fly, but...
Jeremy, I would almost keep his bat in the lineup just for his glove, because he was so good defensively. But I might bat him more down the bottom of the order, maybe in that 8th spot. I don't know. What do you think?
It was a debate last night on Jay Central between Jarkay Hurst and Greg Zahn. Greg Zahn says he should be in every single night because he's that good defensively. Jarkay Hurst was saying he can't hit anything coming off a left-handed pitcher, so why put him in?
Yeah. See, Zahn has that old mentality, too, and that's been the thing. And Hurst, and whenever I talked to Jamie Campbell last Sunday, he said the exact same thing, is that they're two completely different minded people. Zahn is very old school, and Hurst is all about the numbers. So, anyways, that's a debate for another day. But how about the return of Brett Laurie to the lineup? He's certainly brought his spug. He just got his first hit last night against the Yankees. What does his presence, Jeremy, bring?
He had two hits last night.
He had two hits last night.
Well, he brings a lot of energy and a lot of Red Bull to this team. He's a high energy guy. He wants to win. He's passionate. He's even a little crazy. And I think, it's tough for him to come into the locker room right now just because it is a little tense and people aren't really as happy as they want to be just because the Jays aren't winning. But again, it's just a rough stretch that I think will turn around. But obviously, once his bat gets going, it's going to be great to have in the lineup. And immediately, his defense has shown dividends, you know.
Oh, he's made some great plays. He made a very nice play on Wednesday night. He made another beautiful play last night. Like, that's definitely his strength, is Laurie, is he's very good defensively. When his bat's not there, his defense is there.
And that's the big thing, right? The Jays were missing the defense.
Yeah, they did not have that defense for Meister's Torres.
And now his Torres is, you know, purely second base, and that's better than shortstop.
But why is Torres in the lineup more than Bonifacio? Why would you pick Torres over Bonifacio?
I believe his glove is a little bit better, you think?
I don't think so. I like Bonifacio's energy a lot more than Torres's. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Anyways, moving on. Now, Jeremy, the Blue Jays, they haven't got off to the greatest start. Now, their fan support, just fair. And you sent a tweet last night that I hate Toronto sports fans. Want to explain yourself a little bit on that one?
Well, it really encompasses all the Toronto teams. I'm a Toronto sports fan myself. That's, you know, born and raised in this city, so obviously I have a inclination to like these teams. But I just, they're just some of the most ignorant, some of the most rude, and just nonsensical fans. Vernon Wells last night was booed mercilessly. There's no reason for Vernon Wells to ever be booed anytime he's in this city. Excuse me. He's one of the best Jays statistically of all time. He did nothing wrong except take a gigantic contract that someone else offered him, and then he got hurt making a gold glove type of defensive play and was just never the same. He didn't ask to leave. He didn't leave during free agency. He didn't leave on bad terms. He left because Alex Anthopoulos somehow got someone stupid enough to take his gigantic contract off the Blue Jays' hands. Vernon Wells has been a model citizen. He's one of the nicest men, and there's no reason he should be booed here. Same with Lyle Overbay. The only thing he did here was suck, and that's fine, but there's no reason to boo a man for sucking.
And that's funny, too, because Overbay's been pretty good so far for New York this season.
And it crosses over into every single sport here in Toronto. Like, the Raptors fans boo everyone that left. I mean, I understand Vince Carter, but at the end of the day, like, it might be time to get over it. You know, Leafs fans are some of the most just absurd fans in sports. You know, they can go on a two-game winning streak, and hey, they're going to win the Cup. They can go on a two-game losing streak. Oh, this is the worst team of all time.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, Toronto fans boo at everyone. They're throwing paper airplanes on the field last night, as they have all season. It's just, they're such front runners, too. I think last night there were more fans at the game just because they're playing the Yankees than there were at the entire White Sox series. And it's pathetic. And I understand it's April. I understand there's students that are still, you know, taking exams. I understand that times economically aren't great. But when there's like 10 to 15,000 fans at a game in a stadium that holds 50,000, what players don't want to play for that. Players aren't going to get up for that. And I'm not saying it's the player's fault or, you know, the fan's fault, and winning goes both ways, but I just be Toronto fans are frustrating. Obviously, Toronto sports teams have not been great lately. You could somewhat even say longer than great lately, but it's just frustrating as someone who, regardless of, as a fan myself, regardless of how my team is doing, I will always support them. I won't boo them. You know, there's no point to boo your own team. That's not going to endear you to them. If you're going to a Jays game, go to watch the Jays. Go cheer Vernon Wells. There's no need to be rude to the other team. There's no need to be disrespectful. I mean, these are professional athletes. You know, I was standing beside people. People don't come to our work and start clamoring at us, asking for pictures, yelling at us. Like, you know, we're not sitting there at our desk just doing an essay, and we don't have random people come yell at us, "Hey, you suck, you bum, whatever." Like, at the end of the day, they're people, and there's no need to treat them with less respect than you would anyone else. And that's my rant.
That was one hell of a rant right there, Jeremy Pearl. Now, one thing that a lot of people will not be booing, and we're changing gears a little bit here, is the Boston Red Sox. They started off the season very well. 11-4, they're 8-2 in their last 10. Now, yesterday's game was canceled in Boston. This is all due to the Boston Marathon suspects. The police were trying to apprehend them. Pretty much shut down the entire city yesterday. Boston Bruins game was also canceled yesterday. So, Jeremy, what has been working so far for the Boston Red Sox? 11-4 to start off the year.
Well, their pitching has certainly improved since last year. Obviously, Lester and Buchholz are very comfortable having John Farrell back with them, and I think that's really been a big difference. You know, he was their pitching coach previous before he took the Toronto Blue Jays job, and honestly, just they've had contributions from everyone. Pedroia is back to his, you know, MVP self. Ellsbury, they don't even have Ortiz back, who I believe will be back in the lineup either today or tomorrow. This is a team that I think was underrated going into this season. They have a pretty solid bullpen, and right now they're just getting production out of a little bit of everyone. And 11-4 speaks for itself.
Well, I think you look at exactly their starting pitching. You look at their starting five here. So you have Lester, Buchholz, Dempster, Esfez, and Dubron. And Lester's 3-0 with an ERA of 1.73. Buchholz is 3-0 with an ERA of 0.41. Dempster, he has, you know, he doesn't have a win yet, but his ERA is under 3 at 2.65. And then, you know, you got your bullpen, like Andrew Bailey's been very good. Joel Hanrahan hasn't been great, although, you know, he's got a couple saves here and here. Actually, he has 3 saves. Bailey had a save a couple nights ago, I believe. So their bullpen has been very good. Tozawa has been lights out, 2 wins and an ERA of 1.13. Like, this is a team that I firmly believe if their pitching can hold up really well, then they're going to be okay, and if they can get the offense from a variety of different guys, then they'll be all right. One guy that's actually really stood out for me so far this season is Daniel Nava of the Red Sox. He's been playing some left field for them, and we just lost Jeremy.
Many apologies. I experienced some technical difficulties on my end.
You blew it.
Yeah. My computer decided to just, you know, blow up. But we're back now, and you were about to talk about the Red Sox doing so well.
Well, I was talking about the Red Sox, and then you left us here.
Okay, so why don't you fill me out on what you said?
Well, I'll just recap. I'll just recap. Their pitching has been really good, and I went over how good Leicester and Clay Buckles has been, especially Leicester, who has not been very good, or who was not very good last season. And then some of their offense guys that I really like so far this season is Daniel Nava, third on the team at hitting. He's just been raking the ball, three home runs, 11 RBIs, second on the team for RBIs as well. So, and then you have guys like Mike Napoli, 17 RBIs to start off the year as well. So some of these guys are just raking the ball. Although, with that said, Napoli has also struck out 21 times. So, that's sort of unfortunate.
Well, today they will be playing with heavy hearts, I'm sure, and the chance to really uplift a city. And if we know anything, Boston is one of the strongest cities in the world.
Definitely one of the toughest.
Exactly. So, this will be an emotional day for all those involved. And I wish everyone in Boston all the best. And glad that this is... Well, hopefully this will end the correct way, and then the bad guys have been caught, and hopefully they're the correct ones, and everything ends the way it should, and la-di-da.
All that other fun stuff. Now, yeah. Jeremy, you like Matt Harvey so far this year, starting pitcher for the New York Mets.
Well, it's hard not to like a guy who's gone 4-0. Beat Steven Strasburg last night over 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. And he's just been dealing right now. There's not much else to say. He's finding his groove, and this is someone we're going to have to watch throughout the season, because right now he might be the Cy Young leader. And again, it's 4 games into the season, but he's wailing and dealing right now.
Harvey, this is just his first year, first full season in Major League Baseball, 24 years old from New London, Connecticut. And yeah, 4-0 to start out the season. He's only allowed 3 runs and 32 strikeouts, holding, he has an ERA of under 1 at 0.93. So
that's not bad.
And I mean, whenever you can duel with someone like Steven Strasburg, that's pretty darn good.
That being said, Strasburg has kind of struggled this year. Just hasn't quite been himself yet. But
neither have the Nationals, really. You know, they've been falling behind the gun a little bit. 9-7 right now.
Ever since they played Atlanta, they've taken a nosedive. But again, it's early, right? They're 9-7. You look at that stretch during the year, everyone's saying, "Oh, that's a good, you know, that's solid. That's pretty good." The Jays are literally flipped and everyone's panicking just because it's the start of the season.
Now, one team that they are up against in that division is the Atlanta Braves. 13-3, we talked about them last episode and how good they've been, and they've just been continuing that streak.
Yeah, they really haven't cooled off at all. 13-3, just obliterating everybody. Right now, they're just continuing to play great baseball. Justin Upton is killing the ball. I believe he has 9 home runs. Hayward, they're getting good pitching. They're plus 37 in run differential. You know, right now they're playing great baseball. Paul Mahomes is just killing it. Right now they're just getting production out of everybody.
And that's what you need too, right?
It's exactly what you need. I mean, they have their call-up Getz, who he's been hitting the ball very well in McCann's absence. This is a team that is going to do very well.
All right. Well, another team that is also doing very well is the Colorado Rockies, leading the National League West Division currently at 12-4 to start the season, and Troy Tulowitzki leading the club, 15 RBIs and 5 home runs so far this season, and a 3.14 average. They've also been very good.
They have yet to lose at home. They're 7-0, and to be honest, I can't say that I saw this coming.
No, I don't think a lot of people have.
They don't have the greatest roster, but...
They don't have the greatest rotation.
They do have Troy Tulowitzki, and he is one of, if not the best shortstop in the game.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that he's the best shortstop whenever Reyes is not in the lineup.
You think Reyes is a better all-around player than Troy Tulowitzki?
Yes, I do. I think they're very similar players in what they bring, but I would have to take Reyes over Tulowitzki any day just because of his energy that he brings to the clubhouse.
Fair enough. All about the intangibles.
Yeah, I definitely like guys that contribute in the clubhouse and then come out on the field. Now, one player that has been very good is Joel Chassin. 3-0 to start the season and an ERA of 1.46, just and only 4 earned runs. You know, that's somebody that they need in order to be successful, and he has been so far.
Now, we go from teams that have gotten off to solid starts to a team that has still just not been able to put it together, and that is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 5-10.
They've been awful.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll go straight and call them awful. They have Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, Howie Kendrick, this Peter Borges. I mean, I can go on. Tarp?
They've got a great team. I don't know what it is with them. They have a whole bunch of superstars, too. And that's something that I thought they had, too, because, you know, they have C.J. Wilson. They had Jared Weaver, you know. This should be a good ball club.
Weaver's out with a broken elbow. But, yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I'm more worried about this team than a team, you know, to bring it back to the Jays. I'm more worried about the way that Anaheim is playing, or rather, you know, the way they're just not playing well. This should be a better ball club than their record says.
Yeah, now, you know, it's almost, you almost bring that question over to their managers, like Mike Scioscia.
Is his time up?
I think it is. He's been with them for a long period of time, and he has the players that he needs right in front of him. But, you know, there's just something about his managing maybe that the guys aren't responding to. I don't know what it is, but he hasn't led them in a good manner lately.
He's been around for a very long time. Won them a World Series.
Now, see, that's someone, I don't know who you replace him with, because he is a good manager, don't get me wrong. But, like, they won a World Series. I don't even remember when they won the World Series. It's been that long.
It was either 06 or 02.
I think it was 2002, because the St. Louis Cardinals won in 2006.
Exactly. So.
But it's been 10 years. And 10 years is a long stretch of time. Now,
it's 2002.
Do they mix things up? I think so.
But so who do you replace them with? A coach off the bench or someone out of the organization?
I would almost put someone just in there on an interim basis and then see at the end of the season. Because there's a lot of good coaches out there. And there's a lot of good managers and whatnot, and I think Mike Scioscia would get another job, but I think it's almost time to switch things up in Anaheim.
Sure enough.
That's my opinion, at least. Julio Urbán, he had some contract stuff going on there in Texas. Wasn't sure what was going on with him. They were trying to get a trade for him. Ended up putting him on waivers, and he was claimed by the Chicago Cubs.
So he was. That's a pickup indeed.
Sorry, I thought you'd have more to say about that. Never mind. So the Chicago Cubs off to another bad start this season. What is wrong with them?
Well, they're the Chicago Cubs. They don't have anyone on their roster really worth. I mean, Castro is obviously quite solid, but just I don't think it's really anything to be surprised about. They just haven't put together the roster that can compete yet. That's really all it comes down to.
Do you think, though, do you think they have the right man in charge in the general manager position?
I do. I think Epstein is a very solid general manager, and I think he can turn this team around. I don't think it'll be as quick as people want it to be, but, you know, he needs the funds. He needs to see the team play. He needs to see the market play out. And I think when the time is right, he will he's slowly putting this team together. It's going to take time. This is a team that hasn't won the World Series in 105 years. Or, this is a team that's struggled since 07. They're going to take some time to get back into it. They're going to draft well. And they just got to start slowly and just rebuild from the bottom.
One of the bright spots for the Chicago Cubs has been former Blue Jay came over to the Cubs last offseason, Carlos Villanueva. 1-0 to start the season and 3 starts and an ERA of 1.29. Only 3 earned runs and he struck out 15.
But a horrible mustache.
You don't like that? I like it, man.
It looks like the Monopoly Man.
I like it.
It's weird because he's got the full beard as well as the little stash, but they don't connect. It's kind of creepy.
Hey, keeping it real at least. And then finally to wrap up our show today, Mike Zunino. I've been keeping a tab on this guy since I drafted him in my fantasy baseball league, and guy has been lights out as of late in AAA. This is his first full season in playing minor league baseball. Only 22 years old, playing for Tacoma in the Seattle Mariners minor league system. Really going to pressure current catcher for the Mariners, Jesus Montero. He's just been raking at AAA. He has 4 home runs, 18 RBIs in just 11 games, and an on-base percentage of .996. Jeremy, do you think you think it's time to bring him up?
It's his first full season in AAA. I'd let him, show a little more signs. There's no need to rush him, especially with the Mariners. I mean, we see prospects rushed all the time. Why not just have him play it out in AAA, continue to kill it, and just gain a lot of confidence? There's no need to bring him up to the Mariners just yet. Because what if he doesn't contribute? What if he doesn't produce? And then it messes with his psyche, and then he goes back to AAA, and then he does produce. And then he just becomes one of those people that produces, in the minor leagues, but doesn't quite produce at the major league level.
A Travis Snyder.
Yes. Well, there's many examples. I say, let him stick it out in AAA. It's his first full season. Maybe bring him up towards the end of the year if you're out of contention. Let him get a few at-bats. But for right now, just, let him stay the course. Don't rush him. Don't put any pressure on him. Just say, hey, kid, you're killing it. Keep killing it.
All right.
And
fair enough.
And that's what I say to that.
I like it.
Yes. Well, all right, then. That'll do it for today.
We've ran out of show ideas.
Sorry?
We've ran out of topic ideas. We need to start bringing in some guests. Next week, hopefully, we'll bring on a guest. Maybe bring on Brad Hutchison from Studio 42.
Well, we will definitely do something, but the first edition from PEI/Toronto went fairly well, except for, the one minor. The technical difficulties on my end, as I apologize to all of our loyal listeners, whoever you are. We appreciate it. And, I hope everyone has a fantastic Saturday, an even better weekend, and we will talk to you all later next week.
Jeremy Pearl with the worst sign-off ever. That's episode 4 of the Jeremy and Ryan Show. Thanks for tuning in.